Hello, everybody. And this presentation today is about one of our ongoing studies in India, in which we are trying to reduce the road traffic crashes and injuries in a couple of states of India. And this data is basically about the, you know, injury surveillance from a hospital database that we were working with. At this point in time, I would like to say that I don't have any relationships to disclose. A little bit about India, and I, you know, most of the people already know about it, but, you know, India has a population of over 1.2 billion, and recently it has been, you know, upgraded to a middle-income country by the World Bank. We also know that there is no road safety lead agency in India, and so, you know, working around road safety in India has been a challenge in many ways because we have to talk to very different people and very many, you know, professionals who are working in the road safety arena. There is a national drink driving law, and the legal limit is pretty low as compared to, you know, rest of the world. However, the implementation and enforcement is variable at best in different parts of the country. There is also a national helmet law, but you know, interestingly, the helmet law is also applicable for co-passengers or the pillion riders, which is which makes it different in terms of you know, how can we enforce and how can we get the community on board in the helmet use. Now, in terms of road traffic injuries, it's important to know that, you know, India has the second highest number of fatal road traffic injuries in the entire world. The other important statistics is there is a high number of road traffic crashes per 100,000 population as recorded in recently in 2012. And also, you know, non-fatal road traffic injuries are also very high, 42.2 per 100,000 population. 11.4 fatal RTIs in 2002, which was down from 2010 statistics, in which, you know, in 2010 it was recorded approximately 19 fatal road traffic injuries per 100,000. So they dropped it in 2 years to 11.4. However, whether this is a secular trend or, you know, you know, cross-sectional finding, we have to know, we will know in due time. Unlike most of the developed countries, motorized two-wheelers and three-wheelers are the most popular and the largest proportion of all the vehicles in the country. A little bit about our project that was supporting this study. This project was supported by the Bloomberg Philanthropies for the Global Road Safety Program, which was implemented 5 years ago in 2010. The implementation countries included Brazil, Cambodia, China, Egypt, India, Kenya, Mexico, Russia, Turkey, and Vietnam. We abandoned the study in Egypt after the political instability in 2011. The consortium partner, so the road safety project was not a, you know, was not governed by only one agency. Six main consortium partners were involved, including the World Health Organization, World Bank, Global Road Safety Partners, EMBARC, and Association for Safe International Road Travel. Johns Hopkins International Research Unit was involved in the M&E part of the entire project. So, you know, these partners were actually implementing different strategies and interventions in the countries they were working in, and we were involved in monitoring and evaluation whether those interventions are actually working or not. So, kind of interesting work. Our project in India had three there's working. No. Anyway, so our project was initially started in three sites, Hyderabad, Jalandhar, and later on Vizag. We had to abandon Jalandhar in 2012, different because of political instability. Also, it was interesting that Andhra Pradesh, where Hyderabad was located, was later on divided into two states. So the government was also divided, and we had to face a lot of deal with different political leadership and bureaucracy and so on and so forth. So it was kind of a bumpy ride along that. We also started in Vizag. As you can see that Hyderabad and Vizag had similar interventions focused on drink driving reduction and helmet use, whereas in Jalandhar it was drink driving and speeding. This data that I'm going to present is basically from Hyderabad today. The methods for monitoring and evaluation, we had both primary and secondary data collection from various sources. And in the secondary data source, we also used retrospective hospital surveillance and police data. Police data had several limitations. So we actually ended up setting up a prospective injury surveillance program for the hospital-based road traffic injury and crashes who are presenting at the largest public sector hospital in Hyderabad. So this data is based on that. So prospective hospital injury surveillance was established in a large public health hospital. A team of four data collectors with one coordinator was recruited and trained. And they were also trained in not only in the data collection methodology and tool and the process, but also in patient confidentiality, injury anatomy, pathology, and the care of the injured patients over the time. The induction was done and the data was collected around the clock. The data collectors were basically based on in the emergency department where they captured the injured patients and then followed them up along the course of the hospital admission. This was the initial tool that we were using. Later on, this tool was actually converted into an electronic data collection tool. We used handheld devices to collect the data. Initially, the data collection was paper-based. The sample questions included general patient information about the demography, age, sex, education level, profession, etc., but also about pre-hospital care, especially what was the mode of arrival, what was the care provided, if at all, at the scene, and who provided care, and what was the time duration between the injury and the arrival into the hospital. The road traffic injury details also included the type of vehicle that was involved, how many people were involved in the crash, what was the predominant, mechanism of injury in terms of, head-on collision or sideways collision or rollover, etc. But also the site of the anatomical injury and other details. Initial assessment in the hospital was also recorded, including the vital signs, the Glasgow Coma Score, or level of consciousness, the injury details in terms of the body region that was involved, and how many injuries were sustained in a road traffic crash was included in the details. And then the patient was followed up during the hospital course, including the treatment that they received over the course, whether they were discharged or admitted, and what was the final disposition of those patients, whether they survived or they died during the course of treatment. The methods also include that we obtained the verbal consent, and as was noted, signatures were not on, we had to take a verbal consent. We, you know, explained all the questions and the, you know, questionnaire to them, and the verbal consent was obtained prior to the data collection. Initially, when the patient was acutely injured, the relatives or next of the kin or medical records and were the source of data collection. But as the patient was involved in the whole process, their direct interviews were also conducted. The data for the period of August to October 2013 is currently presented. It was our pilot study. So the results are here, and as you can see, that the most of the patients were from 15 to 29 years of age, predominantly males, and also 30 to 44 years age group was the next most commonly injured victims. As you can see, the distribution of road traffic injury victims in this graph by road user and the vehicle type. In the right, on your left, there is the graph shows the road user. And as you can see, that most of the most of the victims are drivers and passengers, but at least 21% are actually pedestrians involved in the road traffic crash. And if you look at the vehicle type, most of these drivers, passengers are actually motorcycle users, approximately 73% of all of them. In terms of injury severity, with respect to the Glasgow Coma score, we found that most of the So if you look at that, many of the injuries have a reasonable Glasgow Coma score. Approximately 81% had a Glasgow Coma score of 13 to 15, and majority of those who had a lower score belonged to the group of motorcyclists. However, when we actually conducted an analysis whether pedestrians versus motorcyclists have a higher chances of having a lower GCS, we found that pedestrians, if they were involved in a road traffic crash, it is a higher probability of having them a lower Glasgow Coma score at arrival as compared to the motorcyclists. Similar finding was in terms of revised trauma score, which is the physiological scoring system assessing the injury severity. And as we find that majority of the people who presented had a reasonable revised trauma score, and amongst them motorcyclists were making up the majority. Many pedestrians were found to be at a higher odds of having a lower revised trauma score, which means a higher road traffic injury severity. Similarly, majority of the patients who presented with head injury were motorcyclists followed by pedestrians. And in terms of mortality, we found that if the person was involved in the road traffic crash, having a pedestrian involved in the road traffic crash is more likely to have adverse outcomes in terms of death as compared to others. This is just a demonstration of how many people use the helmets. Only 4% who were involved in a road traffic crash and were on a bike were wearing a helmet at the time of crash, so almost none, you can say. So the important points, motorcyclists constituted a larger proportion of victims, but and hence they were constituting a higher burden of severe injuries and head injuries as well. However, pedestrians were more likely to have severe injuries and adverse outcomes in terms of mortality if they were involved in a road traffic crash. Use of all safety equipment is low, and enforcement of law, helmet law is weak in Hyderabad due to cultural issues, like Sikhs were not willing to put on helmet because of turbans, and etc. Enhanced enforcement and increased awareness can improve road safety, and this is the focus of our intervention right now. Thank you. Actually, two- and three-wheelers are the more common. Three-wheelers are mostly the tuk-tuks, or the rickshaw, as they call them. But motor bikes, like the two-wheelers, are the ones in question right now. Ongoing, and this was just a pilot in which we implemented a surveillance program. We are in a process of getting the actual data, and since the denominator, this is only one hospital, so the denominator is likely to be very high. So, and these are those patients who actually get to the hospital. So many actually don't even get to the hospital. Because in India, there is no central pre-hospital system or EMS system in all the states. They are pretty much independent in what type of EMS system they want to have. Now, for Hyderabad, there is a EMS agency, which is public-private partnership. But many times, they are mostly involved in large, rural, highway type of crash rescue than in the urban, EMS delivery. Now, many people were most arriving into the hospital by private cars or taxis or even, bikes. Somebody got injured in a bike crash and picked up by another bike rider and was, brought to the emergency department. So it was very variable. However, we anticipated that, because of the traffic rush and jams in the urban, roads, there will be less number of crashes. Actually, it is quite high. And part of the problem is that, there are many unpaved roads and there are a lot of construction work going on at the side of the road. And there's no pedestrian walkway in many roads of the city. That is why. And if you go to the Hyderabad, you would find it interesting that many bike riders are actually not following the one-way traffic. They would be coming from the opposite end. Sometimes they are riding on the pedestrian walkway and slip over. So these were the issues that we observed.
Well, maybe we can save questions for after the session because it's now after 10, and that's my job. It is 10, so you can't fire me. So I'd like to thank all of our presenters.